My commentary in the book of Ruth, Ruth chapter 4, verses 13 through 22. Verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. Jewish thinking was that it was the Lord who enabled women to conceive. Did they understand the biology of a sperm cell uniting with an egg cell? I really don't know. I kind of doubt it. So they simply said, it's the Lord that caused Ruth to have a son. Now, I'm sure they understood that it took a male and a female coming together to produce a child, but it was their understanding in the long run, it was God himself that enabled the birth. You know, we in our culture today might do well to have the same understanding. The omnipotent, omnipresent God who is everywhere at all times, including in a mother's womb when an egg cell unites with a sperm cell, he just might have more influence on these things than we think. Verse 14, the women, that's the women of Bethlehem, said to Naomi, praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given birth. Now, who's he talking about here? Or who's the text talking about when it says, he will renew your life? Boaz will renew the life of Naomi because he married Ruth. The marriage of Jewish Boaz to Gentile Ruth in the long run benefits Naomi the Jew. The real person that's being benefited in the book of Ruth is Naomi. Ruth is being benefited in a secondary way. You could almost call the book of Ruth the book of Naomi, because the important part is that Naomi gets her land back and she gets her descendants secured. And verse 16 says, then Naomi took the child, laid him in her lap, and cared for him. Naomi cared for the baby boy born to Ruth, as if the baby boy was hers. And in Jewish culture, that was the case. The baby boy born to Ruth was considered belonging to Naomi and her deceased husband, Elimelech. It was their son. Ruth was simply, in one sense of the word, a surrogate. 17, the women living in there said, Naomi has a son. You see, Naomi has a son. That's what the women of the city, the town, said. Naomi has a son. Well, Ruth had the son. It's Ruth's biological son. But again, when it comes to kinsman redeemer, in that culture, the son belonged to Naomi. And they named him Obed. Who named the son Obed? It doesn't appear that Ruth did. It appears that Naomi and her women friends in Bethlehem named the son Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. This is important. Obed was the father of Jesse, who was the father of David. From Obed came King David. And King David is important because of the lineage of Jesus. And he himself is important because of his own typology, because Jesus is not just the Messiah, he is the King in the line of King David. King Jesus will one day inherit King David's throne in Jerusalem. Verse 16, this then is the family line of Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amminabad the father of Nashon, Nashon the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz, Boaz the father of Obed, Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of David. So we have the family line written down here at the end of the book of Ruth. From Perez to David. Perez again, Genesis 38. I suggest you read that chapter because it's a bit unsettling. But it was an unsettling act of adultery that maintained the prophetic lineage in which Jesus would be born in. For more information, visit my website, stevesweetman.com.